Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 5. Episode 5 of Hippie Witch, yay! I hope you all had a happy, healthy Earth Day and that you did something nice for the planet or at least just went outside and soaked up some groovy Earth vibes to the soles of your feet. It was such a gorgeous day here yesterday, so I'm still just kind of vibing on all that sunshine and goodwill. It gave me this kind of expansive feeling, which is actually perfect for what I want to talk about this morning, which is the magically magnetic heart chakra, or what I like to call your point of attraction. A lot of lip service has been paid to living from what is commonly referred to as heart center. But what does that even mean, heart center? I got kind of annoyed last year when people were counting down to what they thought was the end of the world as we know it, the infamous Mayan calendar, and these so-called gurus started warning people that if they didn't get into heart center, they were going to be left behind somehow. And that, to me, is exactly the opposite of what living from heart center and a place of love is all about. So what is it all about? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. And this is actually such a vast subject that I could devote the entire Hippie Witch platform to just talking about that. But I will try to at least introduce some basic ideas on this topic in the 30 minutes I have here today, and then maybe we can circle back in on it from time to time, because it's a great topic and super interesting. But this episode's resource list is going to be especially long, just really crazy long, and I still want to go back and even add a few links. But I put those resources for you on the description page at Blog Talk Radio so that you can use these shows, which, let's face it, are too short to go into any real depth, as a kind of springboard. And all of the links I provide are not only the resource material that I've drawn on to produce the show, but they're also there as a kind of guide for you to delve further into each topic on your own. So, you know, if something I say here interests you, you can go check out that list and maybe, you know, go on your own little journey exploring the heart center. But today, regarding the heart center, I specifically want to focus on the heart chakra. Carol DeRay was the first person that really set off this light bulb in me and got me going back through all of my old research on the heart chakra, of which I'd compiled tons of notes, especially during my chakra phase. I've gone through a lot of phases. Anyway, what she teaches is that the top three chakras represent the masculine, the bottom three represent the feminine, and that they meet in the middle at your heart chakra, which is your point of attraction. And I had never heard that before, but it was just like ding, 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 ding. It made so much sense to me. And what she teaches is that the real secret to the secret, and keep in mind that she was teaching this stuff long before The Secret came out. Anyway, the secret to the secret is that it's not enough to just focus our thoughts on what it is we want to manifest. We must also activate the heart chakra, the place where the male and female come together, the point of creation, which is really so appropriate to think about during this time when so many of us are getting ready for Beltane. And I'm never going to think of Beltane in quite the same way again. super cool to think about. Anyway, when I first heard this, huge bells of recognition went off in me, and I was so excited and babbling on like a raving lunatic about how this all makes so much sense and how everything I'd learned up until this point, all of these seemingly unrelated ideas about God and goddess energy, manifestation, chakra work, kundalini, channeling, earthing, magic, it all just clicked into place, you know, in this one really cool aha moment listening to Carol DeRay. Of course, this doesn't quite jibe with the classic yoga interpretation of the chakras alignment. The way that usually goes is from the top down, it would be divine, feminine, masculine, heart integration, masculine, feminine, divine. If you can picture what I just did, it's kind of hard to say like over the radio here without a visual. But anyway, it's pretty darn close. And the chakra symbol has always been open for debate and tends to vary slightly from teacher to teacher. This is just what makes sense to me. If you think about it, the upper chakras above the heart can easily be connected to the masculine, the third eye being activated by the light of the sun of God, which is perceived as a masculine energy, the throat, which is all about communication and projecting out, and then the chakras below the heart can be seen as feminine when you consider their connection to this earthly realm and receptivity, the solar plexus with its infinite gut instincts, and the sacral with reproduction, sensuality, and creativity. And I'm really sorry if you don't know anything about chakras, and it seems like I'm skipping ahead here. I'm kind of assuming that most of you do. And honestly, I would go more into it, but I just don't have time to fit much chakra talk in here. So, you know, I'll just do a basic rundown on what the chakra system, you know, might look like. And I'll try to do that somehow verbally. You'll have to use your imagination to visualize what I'm talking about. Chakras are energy centers or vortexes in and around your body. Some people say they are very much real, and some say they are merely symbolic. Nonetheless, you have many, but the focus usually is on the seven main chakras. Some say eight. I'm on team seven. The seven main chakras that run along your spine and correspond with your various glands and organs. Again, like I said, symbolic interpretation varies, but they're usually represented like this from the top down. So the top of your head is chakra seven, your crown. This is the top of your head, and I like to think of this as representing the point of entry for the divine masculine, the heavenly father, all things transcendent, or your higher consciousness. Chakra number six is your third eye in between your eyebrows and just above. That is where that whole area, actually, of your brain is where you house your pineal gland, which, by the way, is activated by light, by sun, the sun god. Some people claim that it is a center of enlightenment, but it also houses your pituitary gland and your hypothalamus. Chakra number five is your throat, and that is your thyroid gland is there. Chakra number four, which we're talking about today, is at the center of this chakra system, and that is your heart. The gland also that is in your heart chakra is the thymus. And what's interesting is the color, the chakras are represented by different colors, and the heart chakra is usually represented by the color green, which is the color that is at the center or the heart of the rainbow. And I think that's really a cool piece of imagery when you're considering what we're talking about here. Chakra number three is the solar plexus, and that corresponds with your pancreas and your adrenals. Chakra number four is the sacral chakra, which corresponds with your adrenals, with your sexual glands. Sometimes it's associated with your adrenals, but mostly it's associated with your sexual glands. Your adrenals are actually higher up in your body near your pancreas, so I like to put it up with the solar plexus. And then chakra number one is the root chakra, and this is the base of your spine between your anus and sexual organs, and I like to think of this as representing the point of entry for the divine feminine, earth energy, and all things grounding. These are known as the major chakras, and then there are dozens of minor chakras, maybe even more throughout your entire body. And if you want to learn more about chakras, there are two excellent books that I recommend. One is The Seven Healing Chakras by Brenda Davies, which is, it's a nice basic introduction. It's a fairly thin book. It's got some cool ideas. It's for someone, I think, that's more spiritually inclined. And then the other book, which is my personal favorite, is Eastern Body, Western Mind by Anodea Judith. And that book, wow. I had to read that book twice. I read it once all the way through, and I don't know how much of it went in. It's very in-depth. Super interesting, but then I read it again when I was working with a therapist when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder years ago, and that book was instrumental in helping me heal. So I believe in the power of chakras. And Brenda Davies, in her book, The Seven Healing Chakras, there's actually a passage in that book that validates this whole premise that we're discussing here about the masculine and feminine coming together in the heart chakra. And she says, the heart chakra, healing the heart, that's the name of this chapter. She says, now we come to the heart, the pivotal point of our spiritual ascent, bridging the earthly and the divine, as the chakras below hold us securely in our human state, while those above beckon us to the spiritual. Isn't that cool? I love that. So you probably know by now that I have quite a bit of experience with channeling. And when we channel, we are pulling energy down through the crown chakra, or what some might consider the heavenly father or the divine masculine, spiritual energy. When you're channeling, you're accessing that. And of course, there's other ways to access that. That's just, I don't know, an example I'm giving off the top of my head. And then conversely, if you ever look into the concept of grounding or the very excellent work of Clifton Ober, the guy who wrote the book Earthing, you know that the earth informs our system in a similar way, that we draw information and healing from the ground beneath our feet and the planet Earth. And there's a whole chapter in that book devoted to the heart as well, and its relationship with the earth. Super interesting stuff. Kundalini is also all about pulling feminine energy up from the root chakra or Mother Earth. Although I have to warn you that Kundalini can be a very deep, often scary experience. It has been known to send some people to the mental hospital, and I am not even kidding. Kundalini yoga is one way of opening up the body's energy centers, including the heart center. But for many people, opening the heart chakra, maybe before you're ready, can feel a lot like a heart attack, or it can induce anxiety, or on a more mild level, some people describe it as a kind of cracking open. And you know that I am not one for issuing warnings when it comes to magic, especially. But this is one case where I actually have experienced some rather dramatic and frightening things. So it's only fair that I warn you. I would not personally undergo Kundalini awakening, as they call it, without the aid of a skilled yoga teacher or a therapist who is knowledgeable in these matters, or at the very least, a trusted, spiritually oriented friend that you can talk to about what you're going through. And if you want to read more about Kundalini, there's a book called Kundalini Rising that I think is a very interesting read. It's a compilation of a, you know, variety of writers and gurus, and it's just a good introduction. It's a little bit scary, but Kundalini can be, so that's why I recommend checking out that book, because it gives you a more realistic picture of what you're getting yourself into. And then here's another fun chakra-related resource that I think you should check out if you're curious. Manly P. Hall, back in the day, did a neat lecture on how every gland and organ of the body is its own entity and emits its own energy field, and that is the combination of these various fields that comprise our auras and magnetic fields. And I actually think we're eventually going to prove that every single organ, every gland, every cell, every atom contributes to this field in our aura. But for me, anyways, or at least for the sake of this episode, it's this meeting in the middle that really interests me, this point where the masculine and feminine come together. Also, the chakra system is very closely tied in with your endocrine system, also known as the glandular system, which secretes hormones and is literally tied up in your ability to co-create the most amazing manifestation, which is another human life. The thymus gland is at the center of this system, in the heart center, and it's most active when you are a fetus, and during the developmental years of childhood, it produces growth hormone and continues to be active until you are no longer fertile. So, as you can see, it is literally associated with your ability to create and manifest. I also think it's just quite beautiful that the thymus is shaped like a butterfly and actually moves a lot like a butterfly when it's activated, which might be why we say, you know, we're having a fluttery feeling in our heart. You know, when we're nervous, but especially when we're in love, you know, you'll hear people say that their heart is fluttering. Maybe it's the thymus fluttering in there like a butterfly. It is said that when the thymus is open, it is actually like an inward eye generating a kind of special seeing from within, which is why I suppose the heart chakra plays a very key role in intuition. And I mentioned the thymus because, A, it's super interesting, and, B, because it demonstrates the fact that the heart chakra or heart center is not only about your actual heart, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, but it's also about the thymus gland and our lungs, which obviously are also so vital to sustaining life. And all of these work together in a lovely rhythm that you can consciously affect through a process known as entrainment. But before I start talking about entrainment and get off track here, I really want to talk more specifically about the actual organ of your heart. The Heart Math Institute, or the Institute of Heart Math, however you want to say it, is a science-oriented institute that studies the synergy between the heart and the brain and how emotions play a part in everything from our complexions, from the quality of our complexions and energy levels to our relationships and overall quality of life and our ability to perform. They've done some very interesting studies and developed some fairly sophisticated technologies for actually measuring the effects of stress and then conversely positive emotions on the heart. The HeartMath Institute focuses on the physiological effects of emotion and stress rather than the spiritual or magical implications, but I think they are all very interrelated, and I'm not the only one. That happens to me sometimes. My brain gets ahead of my mouth. You've probably heard me do that a lot listening to this show. Hurry. Okay. The heart generates by far the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field in the entire body, and that can actually impact those around us. We are fundamentally and deeply connected to the planet and all of the people around us, and some of the mysteries of the heart, which the Heart Math Institute has presented in a number of videos, and I've linked to a couple in the resources above. Some of them are like this. I wrote this down. In fetal development, the heart forms and starts beating before the brain is developed. The heart sends more information to the brain than vice versa. The heart emits electromagnetic fields that change according to your emotions, and the heart's electromagnetic field can be measured up to several feet away from the body. Super groovy. And according to the Spirit Science Channel, the heart is 100 times electrically stronger and up to 5,000 times stronger magnetically than the brain. And this isn't to put the brain down, but it's just kind of to make a point here that we've been maybe focusing on the wrong organ as the seat of the soul or, you know, as identifying ourselves with. The heart has also been found, interestingly, to be a hormonal gland, manufacturing and secreting numerous hormones and neurotransmitters that profoundly affect the brain and body functions. Among these is a hormone called oxytocin, which is well known as the love or bonding hormone, and it brings things together, which I'm just throwing my own two cents in here, but It's bringing together the masculine and the feminine, again reiterating that it is indeed a point of creation. Heart consciousness is one of unity, whereas brain consciousness is one of polarity and duality. So this so-called shift that everyone has been so jazzed on these past few years is about experiencing a shift in consciousness. It's a movement away from brain-centered consciousness that our society promotes and moving back to where we began as heart-centered beings. And I know that you know that I love to think and talk about magic and conscious manifestation, creating change in conformity with one's will. But the truth is that I am much more interested in another kind of magic, which is more like a mode of 24/7 magic. It's a kind of magical living, or as Abraham Hicks puts it, being in the vortex. You may also have heard this state referred to as being in the flow or the zone, being in alignment, in synergy or coherence. The word synchronicity gets thrown around this way a lot. Deborah Rosman, a behavioral psychologist, did a fascinating webinar for the HeartMath Institute in which she speaks about being in the flow, or what athletes call the zone. And she shares a really profound quote from Tiger Woods, who may arguably be the world's greatest golfer and an expert on getting into and staying in the zone. And he says this, he says, "I think the guys who are really controlling their emotions are going to win. The guy who is controlling his emotions is going to win." And then top athletes like Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali, they all know and have spoken about this too. They understand maybe better than anyone the magical power of visualization coupled with feeling. So, you know, they're not only watching the mental picture of themselves making that basket, they're actually having the full sensual experience on some kind of magical plane in which they actually feel the ball in their hand and they actually hear the sound of it swishing through the hoop and they feel the swell in their heart as the crowd cheers with excitement. You know, relaxation is not enough. Visualization is not enough. You've got to be focused, energized, and awake and in a state of appreciation for the real magic to start happening. And Deborah Rosman, she speaks about the research HeartMath has done on creating this so-called zone experience, which in science is called physiologic coherence, and how it's something that must be developed through the heart specifically. So if you only listen to one of the webinars over there, I recommend checking that one out. Your heart is the center of the universe of your body. Your body can exist brain dead with the heart beating, but it cannot survive the other way around without the beating of your heart. And the electrical system of your heart is your body's dominant system. And even weirder is it has its own independent nervous system, which is like a second brain within your heart. So cool. Greg Braden talks a lot about the heart center and its relationship to the earth. I'm not sure if he's officially affiliated with the Institute, but he often speaks about heart math, and his work ties in the electromagnetic fields of our heart with the electromagnetic fields of the earth and possibly the entire universe, which is alternately known as ether, the matrix, or just simply the field. So when you consider the field of energy being emitted from your heart in this way, it's kind of like your own unique radio station, and you can tune in, tune out, or broadcast from this station. And it also really shows how not only are you affected by the Earth's signal, but the Earth's signals are actually affected by you and the energetic field of your heart. And I didn't go around collecting all of the links to every Greg Braden video because there are so many, but I did include a link to one video in which he better explains what I'm talking about here and uses a particular phenomena that occurred around the events of 9/11 as an example. So you might want to go into the resources list and check that out as well. So how do we activate this heart center so that we can get into this flow that we're talking about here and work a little magic? What kind of things can you do on a practical level to get this party started? Well, this actually brings me back to the thymus gland again. The thymus regulates the lymph system and your immunity. And many health experts promote tapping on the thymus to stimulate energy and immunity and to boost strength and vitality. It's also great for just stress reduction and creating a state of balance. So this is one way that you can activate your heart center or your heart chakra. And this is something that you can practice like in the morning or even in your car on your way to work. And the way that I've seen it explained and the way that I've experimented with this myself is by forming a kind of loose fist with your hand. And then, gosh, it's hard to explain this without the visual. And then thumping on the center of your chest between your heart and sternum, which is where your breastbone is your sternum. So in between your breastbone and your heart, which is where the thymus lies. So you want to thump there just as if you might like do if you've got some food stuck in your pipes or you need to clear your chest. And then there's a certain rhythm that is suggested, and it goes like this. It goes hard, soft, soft. Of course, not too hard. Just enough to make it kind of like thumping drum-like sound. You don't want to hurt yourself, and you just want to go tap, 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 or thump, thump, thump. It actually sounds more like a thump. And I don't know why, but it's suggested that you do this 21 times, so I just always do it 21 times. I never really looked deeper into that because it worked for me and I never gave it much more thought. But you can also do this using the tips of your fingers in a kind of light karate chop action. And I've seen a light tapping in a circle motion technique, and I've linked in the resource list, again, I've linked to a video that demonstrates that technique, which is really super hard to explain over the radio. So if you want to go check that out, knock yourself out. Another thing that you can consider is, like I said, the lungs are in your heart chakra in your heart center, and they are so tied up with your heart, and using the power of your breath is really important for learning how to get in sync with your heart center and to do something that's known as entrainment. So you can use drum beats and rhythms. You might want to check out Pixie Campbell's Soul Lodge. She has some really awesome guided journeys that are like shamanic journeys using drumming. So any kind of breath work or any kind of rhythmic music or drumming can really help entrain your heart to the beat, to the rhythm of the music. There's a book called Shamanic Witch that I like, and in this book she talks about, the author Gail Wood talks about entrainment, and she says, it's a magical moment when the heart begins to beat in rhythm with the drum. In groups of many drums, the drums will often begin separately and eventually find a mutual beat and rhythm. Hearts and blood also beat and throb in harmony with the temple. This phenomenon is called entrainment. So that's awesome. Huge groups of people can get their heart beating all together at the same time, entrained with the rhythm of the music. I love that. You might experience that at a rock concert. I always say rock concerts are as spiritual as church, and they can be sometimes. Another thing you might... 90 seconds. Another thing you want to do to maybe involve your lungs is inhaling deeply a fragrance that you find expansive. Many people think of roses as a symbol of love. Maybe that's because of the strong, pleasing aroma they emit. So the next time you encounter a rose, especially out in nature, maybe you just want to take a moment to really breathe it in and see how that creates an expansive feeling in your heart. Maybe that's why we often say, don't forget to stop and smell the roses. Maybe stopping to smell the roses is more vital to our happiness on as much of a literal level as it is a figurative level. There's a lot of cool yoga poses that are all about activating the heart chakra. Petting your cat or dog can be very relaxing and soothing. It can regulate your heartbeat. Just placing your hand over your heart and applying pressure there. Or you can just start running a dialogue with this part of your body and notice what makes your heart soar and what gives you that expansive feeling And then conversely, what makes your heart contract and feel constricted? And then you'll be able to do more of what feels better and gets you into alignment and then in the flow, and less of what doesn't. So I hope you found that helpful, and that'll help you get into heart center a little bit better. And next week I will be talking about a new way of looking at the witch's pyramid and how it can be a powerful symbol for the law of attraction. Until then, much love. Peace.